Program Manager of Microsoft Cognitive Services, Allison Light.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for coming. My name is Allison Light. I'm Program Manager of Cognitive Services, and today I'm going to talk to you about how do you build smart into your app with Microsoft Cognitive Services. If you're tweeting about us or posting about us, please use the Microsoft Cognitive hashtag during it. And so when we get started, I actually want us to watch this really short video. And while we're watching this video, I want you to think about the things that you're seeing and hearing as a human that you're able to recognize.
When I was 14, I went to prison. It was there that I was introduced to computers. For the first time, I saw opportunities. When I was released, I wanted to share that with others. Now, I use Microsoft technology to train people to use computers. Education is everything. It gives these kids a chance. Technology saved my life, and I believe it can save others.
So really short video, but let's think about the things that we saw during this. As humans, it's really easy for us to see the cityscape. We know the colors in it. There's a lot of yellow and beige and red. We know that there's an ocean there. We know that there are a lot of people in the video, that each person is a unique human, that they have an age and a gender associated. In this photo, they're expressing a lot of emotion. And as we're talking, that there's speech and there's concepts associated with that speech. And we're able to understand most of them, if not all of them. But as a computer, it can be a lot harder to understand these things. It doesn't have the years of training we do. But that's actually what we're trying to achieve in Microsoft Cognitive Services. It's a collection of artificial intelligence-based APIs that enable you to understand the world around you. And what we're trying to do with Microsoft Cognitive Services is democratize artificial intelligence. And what I mean by that is that it doesn't matter what platform you're in, whether you're building a Xamarin-powered app or a website, you can actually use all these APIs because they're REST calls. So it's platform ambivalent. And also, it doesn't matter if you are writing your first app, you're a high schooler, or you've been in the industry for 10 years. They're easy to use, so anyone can build these really smart contextual experiences. And it's part of this thing that we believe in called the invisible revolution. And when we talk about the invisible revolution, we're talking about our applications and our devices becoming smarter. So it's less about having the user manually enter things and more about our devices just knowing what we want automatically. And so when we think about Microsoft's history in this space, it spans a long amount of time. From research, the research org, which I'm a part of, that was formed in 1990, to the great technology in Windows Live Photo Gallery in 2011 that allowed us to do image stitching and deep face recognition and detection, to Cognitive Services, what we have today, we're taking this technology and exposing it to any developer. And this is the same technology that actually powers all of our products today. So the vision analysis that's used in Bing when you're trying to find pictures of cute animals to actually talking to your device in Cortana or Xbox, that's the technology I'm talking about here. And the reason why this is so exciting is the way we've previously approached this problem is we have research, and they're working with the product teams, and they iterate, and they publish a bunch of papers. And eventually, we get to this really good spot, and then the product team bakes it in, and then we ship it to customers, and everyone's happy and rejoices, which is great. But we actually want to make this a lot shorter loop. Why do we have this man in the middle? Why don't we just give this technology to everyone? And so that's why we're making these APIs. So not only can more people develop, we have a lot more happy customers. And we can all make our customers happy. And a really good example of this is actually our Emotion API that I'll be talking about a little bit later. And with the Emotion API, we published the paper the same week we announced the API and demoed it on stage at Future Decoded in November. So that's huge, and it's something that we will continue to do as we progress. So I've talked to you a lot about this magical thing called Cognitive Services. Well, what can you do with it? We have 22 APIs that span 5 categories of understanding, the first of which is vision, so being able to understand deeply the content within images and videos. And we have speech, where you can understand and synthesize spoken word. Language goes a step further. So now that we have text, being able to understand the intent within that text and to break apart the sentences. And then knowledge, where it can actually add context to this text, connect it with greater concepts, and then do something with that concept. And finally, search, powered by Bing, where you can actually have all of that great search technology baked straight into your app. And so if we go into actually the APIs, I'm going to start with vision. And the first one I'm going to talk about is face. So face, people generally understand what it is, detecting and recognizing people in images. But we go a little bit further than that. We actually do a lot of feature detection. So we're able to map the different points on your face. We know where your eyes and your nose and your mouth are. But we know other things like age and gender, as well as facial hair. If you're familiar with how old, that's where we demoed that technology. And my mustache, where we're actually able to know the differences between sideburns, a mustache, and a beard, and know if it's non-stubble, short, and long. So you can actually get a really good understanding of humans in the content that's coming through your app. The next API is Emotion, which, like Face API, works on humans. But this one's a little bit different, and I'm going to show a demo of it. What it does is it recognizes actual emotions in people. So here I'm pretty neutral, but I can smile, and it detects happiness. Oh, no, it's not transferred over. Let me. I can smile, and it detects happiness. It detects surprise, sadness, neutral. And really what this is doing is it's recognizing one of eight of the universal emotions that we globally express worldwide: happiness, sadness, anger, neutral, contempt, disgust, surprise, and fear. The next API in this category is video. So what I've talked about so far, it mostly just acts on a single frame. But now being able to understand across frames, so we can do stabilization using the same technology that's in Hyperlapse, if you're familiar with that app, doing face tracking, emotion detection, and even video summarization. So you get a motion thumbnail back from your 20 minutes of video down to just 30 seconds. So that's pretty huge. And then the last API in this category is computer vision. And computer vision is super exciting because it looks at the contents within the image and actually parses it apart. So here, this is an example taken from our website. And again, as humans, we know a lot about this. We can see that it's a man swimming. But you can see the highlighted tags that it's actually able to detect that there's water in this photo, that there's a sport going on. That sport is swimming. He's in a pool. And further, we can know things like the adult and the racy score. So you can actually do content moderation in your app very easily. And you can know the colors that are in that image, so you can have dynamically generated borders, so the photo always looks great without you having to do that work. But a new feature that we added last month is actually image captioning. And what I love about image captioning is it takes parts of computer vision, that deep pixel analysis, and parts of language understanding, and parses it together. And so here, it's a pretty blurry picture, but we were actually able to automatically detect that the caption is person waiting at a train station. And I don't know about you, but I actually wouldn't be able to realize if that's a human or a computer who came up with that caption. And if you're interested in this, I recommend you go to captionbot.ai, and you can try your photos yourself and actually see this technology in action. So those were the vision APIs. Let's move on to speech. Speech, again, is all about understanding and synthesizing spoken word, and you can do just that using the Bing Speech API. But let's say let's go a step further. Say that I have a very specific scenario, like a hospital, and in this hospital, I'm trying to build a kiosk. Well, what we know about hospitals is that they're pretty loud, there's a lot of background noise going on, and there's a lot of really specific vocabulary in a hospital. And so normally speech won't do that well because it's trained on everyday conversations. It's not trained on 200 milligrams of ibuprofen, please. And so using Chris, you bring your data and you actually train this adapted model to drastically improve the accuracy. And for this, I'm going to show you a fun, trivial example of actually kids talking. So if I go to my demo, bring it over to you guys, on the left, you're going to see normal. So on the right, you're going to see normal speech API. And on the left is actually our Chris adapted model. So I'm going to start the recognition for a new sample and see how it goes.
Giants like banana jokes. Gus the giant also likes riddles about bananas. For some reason, giants don't like songs about bananas.
So you can see the difference in accuracy is huge. The normal speech API does a really poor job on kids' voices because kids speak differently than us. You know, their mouths aren't really formed yet. And similarly, they say different things. So translate banana dogs, like, I don't even know what he's saying. But using Chris, we're actually able to get 100% accuracy. Giants like banana jokes. Gus the Giant also likes videos about bananas. And then the last API in this category is speaker recognition. And what's really cool about speaker recognition is it goes beyond just, OK, what is this person saying up on stage? It's about Microsoft Cognitive Services. That's cool. To knowing, oh, it's Allison Light talking on stage. And it's able to detect the person speaking. And the reason why we're able to do that is because your voice is kind of like a fingerprint. It uniquely identifies you. And so using two-factor auth, you can actually loop this into security scenarios. So I can sign in with my voice. And we actually have one of the developers do a sample just like this, where he integrated our speaker recognition API with his home door. And so in order to get home at night and unlock his door, he just speaks to it, it knows his voice, and it lets him in. Very cool stuff. The next category is language APIs. Again, understanding text. And we have a simple spell check API. And I think spell check is one of those things that's drastically underrated. I don't know about you, but if I didn't have spell check in my day-to-day life, everyone would be exposed to how terrible my English and grammar are. So it's a giant that any developer can now integrate this into their search boxes. So you can actually do things like, oh, I misspelled PowerPoint as PowerPint, and it still recognized it as PowerPoint. We also have Web Language Model API. And what this does, it actually breaks apart sentences and then tells you things like conditional probability that words appear next to each other. So you can know, oh, is this a common sentence? What's the next word that would normally come after this? And have a really deep understanding and do this auto-suggest automatically. And another really fun geeky tool is linguistic analysis. And linguistic analysis is cool because it actually breaks apart sentences into little pieces. And so for this, I'm going to go over to our website, move my mouse over, and show you an example. So this is actually calling our API directly, and I can do a sentence like, Microsoft Cognitive Services helps you build smarter apps. And you can see the sentence coming back in real time with the parts of speech and the constituency tree. And if you're a data scientist, this is great, because you can do all of your processing on the text, and it's really fast and automatic. But there's actually real-world scenarios for this, too. Imagine if I'm trying to teach kids how to read and how to help form sentences. They probably don't care about the sentences I have to make. They want to try their own. So imagine a child actually working on a computer saying, giants like bananas, and being able to know what the noun and the verb and all of that is. The next APIs in this category are more based on intent and understanding. So text analytics, actually what this does is it breaks apart the sentence and can return the sentiment. So it can know if the text is positive, negative, or neutral. It can actually automatically detect the language of the text itself, whether it's English, German, et cetera. And it can do a summarization by detecting key phrases and extracting those out. And then we also have LUIS. And LUIS stands for Language Understanding Intelligence Service. And I could actually do a whole session just on LUIS, but I won't because we don't have time. And what LUIS is able to do is actually understand the intent of what you're saying. So if you want to build a bot or anything that understands generic text, that's when you would use LUIS. And for that, I can actually show you a really quick example of here a trained model I have. And in this model, it's actually about booking flights and getting weather. And we took about maybe 30 minutes to train this ahead of time. We gave it a couple examples of how people might say, I want to fly from Seattle to Orlando. And then told it that we have these actions we want to detect, like book a flight or get the weather. And so if I enter a generic utterance, like flying to Seattle, it uses that, and it's able to detect the highest intent is likely book a flight. And then your app can take this and go book that flight into that logic. And it returns the actual confidence values of the other intents or actions that I might want to detect. And it's very clear that book flight is the highest. And not only that, the place that we're booking to is Seattle. It was able to detect that that's the location I care about. So very quickly, you can develop your own custom model for your application with what you want to detect. So two more categories of APIs, knowledge. It's probably the smartest one, pun intended. And we have specific instances of knowledge graphs that you can use right out of the box. For example, the Academic Knowledge API, where you can index and search a whole bunch of academic papers and journals and authors. And similarly, recommendations. If you actually want to build your own storefront, you bring in your products and your information, and it's able to do similar product suggestion for you and frequently bought together suggestions. So that way, when your customers are buying a coffee maker, it suggests that they should also buy coffee filters at the same time, so they're not sad when they're ready to make coffee and don't have all the necessary pieces. And then we also have entity linking service. And I'm going to go actually deeper into this one a little bit later. But this actually takes a sentence and pulls apart the pieces that have Wikipedia offerings and gives you the unique Wikipedia IDs. So you can automatically source your text. You don't have to do that by hand anymore. But say that none of these knowledge graphs really work for your situation. Well, that's actually where Knowledge Exploration Service comes in. So you can train your own knowledge graph, bring your own data, do the searching that you want to do using our APIs. The last category of APIs I'm going to talk about are search. And these are all the Bing search APIs. So everything that you would expect from Bing, the web, image, video, and news, and also auto-suggest. So when I'm talking about auto-suggest, what I mean there is that that drop-down that comes down as you're typing that automatically fills and thinks about what you're going to be working on, that's actually the same technology offered through this API. And for the search APIs, the one that I want to draw home the most is image search API. Because what's really cool about Bing that they do is they actually have two factors when they're thinking about image search. A, it has to be relevant. I think we can all agree that these are really cute animals. But B, they want to make sure that they're exposing the most high quality, beautiful pictures of cute animals so that way you can integrate into your app with full confidence, knowing that it'll show up the best things and not some blurry picture of a dog that's not actually that cute. So that's a lot about APIs, and it's a lot of information in a really short amount of time, and I realize that. And there's a lot of things that you can do with these APIs that span across industries. But on my team, we're always thinking, what's the bigger picture? Like, what are examples of things we can build? And so I'm going to show you another video, actually, of an idea that we've been dreaming up and working on that takes a lot of our APIs and puts them together. Go to that now.
I'm Saqib Sheikh. I lost my sight when I was 7, and shortly after that, I went to a school for the blind, and that's where I was introduced to talking computers, and that really opened up a whole new world of opportunities. I joined Microsoft 10 years ago as a software engineer. I love making things which improve people's lives. And one of the things I've always dreamt of since I was at university was this idea of something that could tell you at any moment what's going on around you.
I think it's a man jumping in the air doing a trick on a skateboard.
I teamed up with like-minded engineers to make an app which lets you know who and what is around you. It's based on top of the Microsoft Intelligence APIs, which makes it so much easier to make this kind of thing. The app runs on smartphones, but also on the Pivot Head smart glasses. When you're talking to a bigger group, sometimes you can talk and talk and there's no response and you think, is everyone listening really well? Or are they half asleep? And you never know.
I see two faces, 40-year-old man with a beard looking surprised. 20-year-old woman looking happy.
The app can describe the general age and gender of the people around me and what their emotions are, which is incredible. One of the things that's most useful about the app is the ability to read out text.
Hello, good afternoon. Here's your menu.
Great, thank you. I can use the app on my phone to take a picture of the menu, and it's going to guide me on how to take that correct photo.
Move camera to the bottom right and away from the document.
And then it'll recognize the text. Read me the headings.
I see appetizers, salads, paninis, pizzas, pastas.
Hi. Years ago, this was science fiction. I never thought it would be something that you could actually do. But artificial intelligence is improving at an ever faster rate. And I'm really excited to see where we can take this.
Hey.
as engineers, we're always standing on the shoulders of giants, building on top of what went before. And in this case, we've taken years of research from Microsoft Research to pull this off.
I think it's a young girl throwing an orange frisbee in the park.
For me, it's about taking that far-off dream and building it one step at a time. I think this is just the beginning.
So we're really excited about this project because you can see that it uses face and emotion and speech. Also, Lewis to understand the questions and commands he's asking. But we are at a developer conference, so let's actually do some code. I've talked about how easy it is to use these APIs, and let's actually do that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to build a bot. So I don't know if you heard, but apparently 2016 is the year of the bot. And for this, I'm going to use Bot Framework. And I'm going to use Microsoft Bot Framework. And what that means is I can write my business logic once and then deploy across a giant number of channels, from email to messaging to Slack and Telegram and Skype, directly on the web. And there are two pieces of this. There's Bot Builder, which I'm going to use because I don't have any pre-existing business logic. But you can totally skip this part if you do, and I'm assuming you guys would. And then actually the Bot Connector. And so this is actually taking that logic and expanding and deploying across all the channels. And what I'm going to do is help me with a scenario that I experience a lot. So I am a very culturally illiterate person. I don't know what's going on in Hollywood. I know nothing about movies. But I have a lot of friends that like movies, and I like having friends. And so something like this will happen at least once a month, where someone's like, oh my god, let's go see a movie. And I'm like, yeah, I like friends. Movies are cool, I guess. And then very quickly, I get in over my head because they start spouting off all this information. And now I have to go search for, I think I know who Jesse Eisenberg is, but I'm going to be honest, I don't really. And so I get into this, like, oh god, situation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to solve all my problems using Entity Linking Intelligent Service, or ELIS. And so you can see here that I took that text and I ran it through our algorithm, and it actually automatically picked up all of these different concepts and entities that have unique Wikipedia articles. You see Batman versus Superman, Ben Affleck, et cetera. And if I look at the JSON, it actually shows me, like, Batman versus Superman is a pretty generic term, but it's able to detect the correct one using the context of the sentence. And so now if we actually go and do the coding, I'm going to show you how easy it is to actually integrate with this API. So I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio. And before I got here, I actually already downloaded the SDK and the sample, and I set it up. And I'm going to go to this messages controller. This is basically what interfaces with our bot. So we can be able to see what users are saying and then send back responses. And the first thing I'm going to do is add in the Entity Linking SDK. And so for cognitive services, and you'll see here that it says Project Oxford. That's our old name, so they mean the same thing. So for cognitive services, we actually put all of our SDKs on GitHub. We open community submissions. And so I'm going to integrate it in through the NuGet package. And then I'm going to go to this one method, the post method. And this is actually the middleman between the user and your logic. And so what I'm going to do here first is I'm actually going to make the call. So I made a separate method for this, just to break out the logic, called getEntityLink. And the first step, obviously, is to call the API. Now, I already got a key from our website, and that was totally the wrong one to do. So I already got a key from our website, and you can actually do it for free. That was also the wrong one to do. Good job, Allison. Third time's the charm. So I do the entity link call, doing link async really easy. I set up my client. And then actually entity result has the result of all of those Wikipedia IDs. So I actually only really need three lines of code to get the smarts, which is pretty huge. And now, as I'm actually doing that response, because it returns just the ID and not the URL, I'm going to concatenate the two together and then return it in just a comma-separated list. Super easy. So then when I go up here, all I need to do is create a reply, get the result out of entity link. And then as long as there's something to say, our robot's actually going to say something. So this is great. I'm just going to build it. And I'm actually going to deploy it to my service. And then what's really great about this is we have that awkward time between hitting publish and actually going live. And so now we're going to just sit in silence and watch each other or something. Oh man, this is like the worst part of anything, isn't it? Test, one, two, three. Looks like things are happening. And there we go, it's magic, just like that. And so here you can actually see that it's my website that's pulling up. And there's nothing interesting here. This is just the default text that it shows. And that's why I'm going to use the handy dandy Microsoft Bot Framework Emulator. So this actually connects to my bot, and I can do some tests, like test. There's nothing interesting about test. Apparently, no Wikipedia IDs about that. No one's surprised. But now, what if we actually pull in that text that I showed you before? And you can see that our bot returns with all of those links, and I can go to them and click them and be done. But I talked about scale, right? And so like, just showing on an emulator isn't really scaling. So how about we actually put it on our website? So what's really cool about this is that Bot Framework works you through how to do everything, and they have so many code samples that it's very easy to get started. So I'm going to go to my little page here. They have this chat window code that I actually just copied straight from their site when they show you how to connect things together. And then I'm going to have that awkward process again of building and publishing. This would be a really good time to know jokes, but apparently I'm not very funny. My mom likes my jokes, though. And it didn't work. But that's OK. We're just going to skip that one and move on to showing how it would work across Slack. So hypothetically, that code should have worked. I grabbed it from this web chat part. But say I wanted to add the Slack channel. This is sort of the interface that you're going to be seeing when you're actually going through. It does step-by-step how to log into Slack, create a little bot application, what you need for your client ID and your secret ID. And then once you're done, you can say, I'm done configuring Slack, and it's all set up. And then to actually add it to the Slack channel, I just have to hit this button. And so what that does is it takes a second to load. Sometimes it takes 2 seconds to load. And this is great because my demo's not working, but that's fine. So hypothetically, it should say post to here. And I can just select my channel and get started. Let's see if I refresh if it does it. All right, it's not working, so I'm just going to pretend like it did and move on to the rest of the demo. And if you have questions about this, I'm more than happy to answer afterwards. Nothing ever goes right on stage, but that's OK. So wrapping it all together, we have a number of dev tools. All of our SDKs and actually our documentation's on GitHub. If you ever want to contribute to it or find a bug, like, please let us know. We welcome all community submissions. We use Stack Overflow for our questions and support. And actually, it's our engineers, like me and the rest of my team, that actually monitor these. And so when you're interfacing with us, you interface with the people who write the algorithms, which we're really happy with. And then we use user voice for our product feedback. So saying that you have this really cool scenario, but we don't have an API for it, let us know, because we actually use user voice to decide what we build next. And having your feedback is so important to us. So the TLDR of my talk and Microsoft Cognitive Services in general, A, they're really easy to use. They take a few lines of code, and you can get started right away. They're extremely flexible, so they can work across platforms. And we have a wide breadth of APIs, 22 that span those five areas of understanding that you can use. And then C, they're well tested. So we've been working on all of these algorithms for years. And we have a lot of data scientists and researchers behind the scenes actually powering this technology. And the best piece of all is actually you can get started for free on Microsoft.com/cognitive. So for all of our APIs, we have free tiers with really high caps. So you can actually see if these APIs are for you and if they will work for your scenario. With that, I'm actually going to open the floor to any questions. Yes, there's someone coming with a microphone. Awkward silence again. Everyone loves awkward silences.
Number 11. Thank you. Say, can you do like custom dictionaries for vocabulary and stuff for the language?
So for Lewis, you can use all your custom vocabulary and language, because basically what you would do is you would teach a command. So you would, like I suggest, around 10 ways of phrasing the utterance. And then you can actually label, oh, this word here, whatever word it is for your scenario, means that it's this type of object. And then the JSON actually parses that out and says, oh, this is this object and this is this action. So you entirely define it. Question in the back. Yeah, great question. So like I said, we do have free tiers available for all the APIs. And then we have pricing available for some of the APIs, not all of them yet. But if there is an API you're interested in where we don't have pricing available, I do highly recommend you just contact us on our website. There's a little button. And then we'll work with you however we can. There's a question in the front.
Thank you. First, great demo. Awesome technology. My question was this feature or plugin that you use to type the code seems natural?
Yeah, it's AutoHotkey, and it's awesome, and I love it. So all one word, AutoHotkey, and it's like completely customizable, and I would highly recommend. Question over here? Oh, he's behind you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I have a question regarding pricing, but from slightly different side. What about bot framework and bot connector? Are you going to make it commercial, or it will remain free?
So I'm actually not familiar with the bot framework pricing, but I would actually suggest a similar thing. Like if you have a question, you don't see it on their website, just post out. They have a contact button. And again, it's the same thing, because they're a sister team to us. It's the engineers actually who monitor that, and we'll help you however we can.
Yeah, thank you. And the second question is regarding Skype bots and Skype bot API. You know that Facebook announced their bots for their Messenger. And their vision of on bots is slightly different than Microsoft's vision. And they would like to let people, let developers create bots that will help their clients create applications where they can sell something and earn money and so on. So you just announced the idea about bots, but nothing commercial behind the bots. Are you planning to improve your, for example, Skype bots to let people do business?
Yes, and actually you can totally do that with bot framework and Lewis, which was the command understanding one. So you can think about bot framework as your deployment channel, and then cognitive services is how you add all of that smarts into your bot. So you can actually build a customer support solution, or return information, or understand photos. Actually, CaptionBot is built with bot framework as well.
Yeah. For Facebook, what they implemented, they let people use some kind of new visual controls to present some goods. For example, they can have sliding controls where they can, where developers can show some kind of goods and people can scroll it. For Skype, it's really, really simple controls. You can just show, for example, image, use some kind of formatting of the text, and that's it. Are you planning to move to commercial area with Skybots?
Yeah, good question. We are continuing development on bot framework, but I don't have a specific roadmap to share at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Question in the back?
Yeah, just a quick question about the smart glasses and app for visually impaired people. Is that going to be commercially available? I've got a visually impaired friend who would love to get his hands on that.
Okay, let me make sure I heard your question correctly. Are you asking about the Scene AI app?
Yes,
okay. So the Scene AI app is still under development. We're just starting to talk about it because we're really excited. And we don't have more information to share at this time, but we are working on it. Cool, any other questions? Awesome. Well, I'll be around actually at the mini hack area. There's a little cognitive table. So if you have any questions, want to do some hacks, definitely come find us. And thank you for your time.